This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. A minor budget repair bill proposed by Governor Scott Walker last month has sparked major protests around the state, especially from labor unions that are concerned the bill will take away the rights of public labor unions by limiting collective bargaining. While the state assembly approved the bill last Friday, the state senate is yet to act, as 14 Senate Democrats remain out of the state, preventing a quorum in that body. This week, Governor Scott Walker introduced a state budget proposal for the next 2 years that makes widespread cuts to state and local government services, closing more than a $3.5 billion budget deficit. Republican State Senator Dan Capanke of La Crosse supports both the budget repair bill and the direction of Governor Walker's first budget. We'll hear from him in a moment. As a reminder, Wisconsin Public Radio employees are state workers, but news staff do not belong to a union. In an interview from Madison yesterday, Senator Capanke told me about his initial reactions to the governor's proposed biennial budget.
Well, I don't think there are a whole lot of surprises there. We were bracing school boards, school districts, and local units of government were bracing for, you know, less money coming their way, and certainly that's what happened yesterday in the budget. And, you know, the governor has talked about tools to deal with his shortcomings, and I've already been out visiting with municipalities and also with school boards and talking about, you know, the potential loss of revenue that they're going to be receiving. And so I will continue to do that. We're going to be crunching the numbers as it pertains to, you know, you mentioned the City of Unalaska, City of La Crosse, School District of La Crosse, School District of Holman, and so on. We'll be crunching those numbers. And as soon as we have them and we know exactly where all these municipalities and school districts are at financially with this budget, then I'm going to be visiting them and talking through this and seeing if there are some inequities that could be addressed and so on. So that's kind of the game plan for me as I deal with this budget.
And what's been the reaction from local officials that you've talked with about the budget?
I haven't had a chance since it was released yesterday afternoon to talk to any local leaders, school boards, or anything. I expect that I'll be spending quite a bit of time today on the phone talking to some of those school leaders and municipal leaders as to, you know, their thoughts on the budget.
So are there certain aspects of the budget that you see as very good and then some aspects of the budget that you see as maybe not so great?
Well, again, the shortfall to K-12 is certainly big and a big part of it, and that concerns all of us. But again, I think that with some tools that local units of government hopefully will receive upon passage of the adjustment bill, they'll be able to deal with that in a better manner than they can right now. So they're still hurt out here financially. We expected that, but we also are looking at $3.6 billion structural deficit that had to be addressed over the last several administrations, and Republican and Democrat alike. We just haven't had financial backbone to stand up and say we're not going to kick the can down the road anymore. We're going to stand tall here, and we're going to address the shortfall today so that we can have a brighter tomorrow.
And then, yeah, Governor Walker had mentioned that he would be providing tools for local governments and local school districts to help with the budget shortfall. Has there been any discussion what exactly these tools would be?
Well, for instance, yesterday I sat with some leaders from a school district in the 32nd, and we talked about some of those tools, and one of the tools is in the budget adjustment bill, and that would be the 5.8% contribution by the employees to the pension fund. And at this point, there were no contributions from the employees, and now we're asking 5.8 in the adjustment bill. Well, for this particular school district, that amounted to $300,000 savings for the school district in 1 year. So, you know, the bigger the school district, obviously there'll be bigger savings. This is a relatively small school district. So I think that's one of the tools. And I've also, the budget bill allows municipalities and school districts to be flexible in their benefits. And I've seen firsthand where some of the school districts have been very flexible in their offer of health care and other benefits that they're able to realize some huge savings without a drop-off in the quality of benefits that they're able to offer.
And then I want to get your reaction to the last couple weeks, that everything that's gone on in Madison since Governor Walker proposed his budget repair bill.
Well, first off, I have great respect for the people that are marching around the Capitol and have had some rallies and events in the La Crosse area throughout the state. I think that's a fundamental right that they have, and I have great respect for that process and their ability to do that. This is America. I think that's great. And down here in Madison, I haven't heard of any incidents to speak of that, you know, would cause people of great concern. I mean, the crowds have been respectful. They've been obviously loud at times, but again, their voices need to be heard. I have great respect for that process. So, you know, I think the sad part of what's happened here in the last two or three weeks is the 14 senators, and many of whom are some of my better friends here in Madison, that just aren't showing up for work. And it's really delaying the process. Wisconsin can't move forward with 14 senators camping out in Illinois. And so I certainly hope that my friends that are down in Illinois will soon come back to Madison and do the work and begin the process hand in hand with the Republicans and moving this state forward.
And I want to get into that in a little bit. But first, you know, you didn't initially come out with your full support for the budget repair bill. You didn't say which way you were leaning. And then you did finally say that, yes, you did support Walker's budget repair bill. But can you help us understand what your thought process was into coming to that conclusion?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really appreciate you asking, because I believe it was the night of the 15th that I was at the Riverside Park when they had a rally there, and I spoke to him, and at that time I said I wasn't fully behind this bill. And that's because Senator Weingart and others, including myself, were working on an amendment that would afford civil service protections, greater employee protections in the workplace, in termination procedures, in grievance procedures. This amendment afforded them civil service protections, which are some of the best in the country. And I wasn't fully on board until I knew that those protections would be part of the bill. And in fact, the Joint Finance did amend the bill to include that at the request of the governor and senators.
And then I know you did co-sponsor a bill a couple years back that would allow UW employees to collectively bargain. So I guess, you know, some people I've heard at a handful of these rallies that have gone on have wondered how you could support that bill but then not support the budget and then not support collective bargaining through the budget repair bill. So can you just respond to that?
Yeah, that's another great question. When I voted for that several years ago, of course, we had much, much different economic times, and we didn't look at a $3.6 billion deficit. So, you know, we're in extraordinary financial times here in Wisconsin. We want to balance this budget. We want to dig out of this hole that's been created over several administrations with very, very bad accounting practices, stealing money from transportation fund or injured patients compensation fund, or not paying a bill to our good friends just west of us in Minnesota that we owe of about $60 million in reciprocity payments to them. That was due December 1st. We just walked off the job and didn't pay it. So we're in very, very different financial times, which calls for very, very different measures. And that's why I support this bill at this time, because we need to right this financial house so that we have a bright future for Wisconsin.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. My guest today is Senator Dan Kopanky of La Crosse. We're talking about Governor Scott Walker's budget proposal. I guess going back to working with the Democrats, you know, obviously the 14 senators are still out of the state. Do you envision any room for compromise, the Republicans working with the Democrats as to, you know, maybe getting them to come back to the state and seeing any bit of flexibility?
I think that, you know, I'm not sure what it's going to look like, but there'll be a way for them to come back. I hope it's today so we can get to work. But I know there's been ongoing talks, and I'm not privy to those talks. That's between the leadership and the other side, and certainly hopefully those talks bear some fruit, and we will see them in Madison soon.
And do you see any, like, I mean, have there been any discussions within the Republicans to say, well, maybe we can be a little flexible, or is that just going to have to wait until they come back?
Well, I think that, you know, whether we can be flexible or not, I guess, again, depends on, you know, when they come back and what situation we're in at the time. But we've got about 4 months to work on the two-year biennium budget, and so, you know, that's going to give a lot of time for hearings, for chances to modify or change anything that you know, we deem necessary to have change. So we want the Democrats, the 14, to play a big role in that. And they can't do it again from Illinois. They have to do it from the Capitol here in Madison. And I look forward to their return, and I look forward to working with them as we, again, address these financial shortfalls that we have right now and moving the state forward, growing jobs, which everybody wants. That's very bipartisan. And getting our fiscal house in order as well is a very bipartisan issue that we can work together on.
So what has your day looked like since the Democrats have been out of the state? You know, you personally and for the other Republicans that are in Madison, what have the Republicans been doing in the Senate?
Well, it's kind of interesting. We can't move a piece of legislation forward that has a fiscal note to it because we have to have 20 of the 33 senators in the House, and, of course, we're only at 19. So that holds up some bills. That's why the budget adjustment bill has not been moved forward, because we need one senator from the other side to come into Madison and be in the chamber. So we have been able to move those bills. We've moved them as far as we can on the floor to what we call the third reading, and then as soon as they show up, we can very efficiently and quickly move them forward. That's where we are with the budget adjustment bill, and that's where we are with several other bills. But there have been some bills that we've been able to pass and move forward. We had a hearing yesterday on the on a bill relative to sales tax. We had a hearing on a bill on an appointment of Secretary of Tourism Stephanie Klett. So we've been able to move some issues forward, some bills forward. Today we'll be on the floor again. Again, we have a limited agenda because, again, we're handicapped and can't move several bills forward that we would like to. But we're trying to, as much as possible, conduct business as usual, despite the absence of 14 senators. And again, many of them are some of my best friends, and I look forward to seeing them back here at the Capitol very soon.
And have you had any contact with any of them, and what have those conversations been like?
Yeah, one of them called, Senator Hopern called me on Saturday, and I returned a call. I wasn't able to pick up, but I returned a call, and it was a very short call, just exchange greetings and how you doing, and, you know, what I saw, what's going to happen. And I just said, you know, I really just don't know. You're going to have to refer to the leadership, Senator Scott Fitzgerald, and your leader, Minority Leader Mark Miller, and hopefully those leaders can get together, and again, we get to work.
So how much of a role have the legislative Republicans played in regards to developing the budget repair bill and this current budget proposal?
Well, I think we had maybe a larger role than what's been portrayed in the media. I know that we were given the bill, the budget repair bill, and we wanted to get that done in a relatively efficient amount of time because of the two-year biennial bill that was budget that was delivered yesterday. So we needed the budget repair bill in place so that we could address the larger picture, and that was the two-year budget. But we had a chance to, you know, review the budget repair bill. We had discussions with the governor. We had discussions with the governor's office. And staff, we had Ledge Fiscal Bureau in talking about it, which is crunches the numbers for us. So we've had an opportunity to take a good look at this bill and understand the reasons why it was brought forward, and understand the reasons why it needs to be passed to address, you know, the shortfall that we have. And you know, when we talk about concessions from our state and local employees, and they've been very, very good. I commend them for stepping up and saying, yeah, you know, we should pay this and we should pay that. And I think that's very commendable on their part. that's part of it. And that amounts to about 8 or 9% of the $3.6 billion shortfall that we had. Now, the rest of it was addressed yesterday in when the governor delivered the two-year budget. So that was a piece of it. Now we have the bigger piece, and hopefully we can work on these together in the coming days, and we have a June 30th deadline to produce the two-year budget, and I'm confident that we'll be on track to do that.
Yes, some people have said that these bills have the appearance that the GOP is just rubber-stamping some of Governor Walker's ideas. Have you offered any changes to the governor and have the senators come forth with changes? And is this just a bill that's being rubber-stamped by the GOP?
There's been a lot of discussions and on this bill, the budget repair bill, within our caucus, and a lot of really tough questions asked, and some I I would predict that you would see some proposed changes to or modifications, if you will, in the in the 2-year budget that we're going to be seeing, you know, working on for the next 4 months. So that'll be the place for that. But we have to remember that the Assembly has voted on the budget repair bill last week. It's waiting a vote by the Senate and then land on the governor's desk. So if we were to modify that to any great extent, then the Assembly would have to go back and vote on this bill again. And obviously, this is not an easy vote for any of us. It's a difficult vote because we are changing how we do business in Wisconsin in a pretty big way. And yet, as I mentioned earlier, when you're facing the financial times that we are, extraordinary financial times, let's say, then it calls for extraordinary measures. And we want to be as fair as we can to everybody in balancing this budget. And so, you know, some aspects of the budget I was concerned about, and yet when the governor delivered it, it wasn't as bad in some areas as I thought. I think that some thought was that, you know, we're going to cut Medicaid off for many, many, many people who rely on that. Medical assistance, and, you know, I don't see that to the measure that some people thought in this budget. On the other hand, I talked about the school, you know, funding, and that's an issue. But I really believe that we need to get the numbers for the respective districts and crunch those numbers and then sit down and talk about is this equitable, is this fair, and if it is, then we move forward and create ways to address it. And if it's not, I have assured municipalities and school boards that if they're treated unfairly relative to some of the other areas of the state, I will be a pit bull in going after this budget and leveling that playing field for the people in western Wisconsin.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. My guest today is Senator Dan Kopanky of La Crosse. And Senator Kopanky, do you see what's going on now as any different from what happened 2 years ago when the Democrats controlled everything?
Well, I mean, I guess the big difference would be that, you know, the Republicans had to vote on some really tough bills. And an example is 2 years ago, Governor Doyle brought forward a budget adjustment bill that included over $1 billion in tax increases. And I don't think there was a Republican that voted for that bill. And that bill was brought on by the governor, and within 48 hours was on his desk to pass it. And so that's very swift, very fast. We objected to it. We did it in the chamber and in the hearings, and then we voted no on the floor, and that's really the process. So that's the big difference. There's many bills here in Madison that over the 6 years that I've been here that have been passed in a very bipartisan manner, and so we have proven that we can work together. It's just on some of the major core issues that we have a difference, and you know, how we handle that is a debate in the hearings and on the floor, and then move forward, up or down with a vote, and we move forward.
So how do you see the state of the state maybe a year or two from now? 2 years after this budget would be passed, and then maybe 1 year, you know, halfway through the current proposed budget?
It's another great question. What I see, and I think I can't speak for the governor, but what I've seen and heard from him and his administration is that We must improve the business climate here in Wisconsin. We need to grow jobs, and that helps everybody, whether you're a union official, a union laborer, or non-union laborer. It doesn't matter. We need to grow jobs here in Wisconsin, and that's been the theme of his campaign and also his first couple months here in office. Is we're open for business. We're going to be very aggressive in recruiting businesses to come to Wisconsin, and we're going to give incentives through tort reform, and through maybe a more efficient way of getting the permits that you need in a more timely manner so that you can be up and running as a business in a shorter period of time. Those are the things that we're addressing right now. So in 2 or 3 years, I see Wisconsin not 48th in business climate, as Forbes magazine has recently rated us, but instead maybe 25th or 20th or even better than that because of the things that we're doing here. And because of that, we will not be looking at a $3.6 billion deficit again, because we'll have a good economy here in Wisconsin. We'll be moving forward with more jobs that brings more money into the coffers here at Madison, so that we can take a look at school funding in a couple of years and say, we had to make this huge cut 2 years ago because of, you know, the financial situation that we were facing at the time. And I would guess and hope that that load would be much easier in 2 or 3 years because of some of the steps that were taken here today.
Some people have been calling for a recall for you, and others have called for a boycott of the La Crosse loggers. So can I get a response from you as to your reaction to that?
Sure. As far as the recall is concerned, that's part of the process. It's out there, and if enough people deem it necessary to recall me, then that's I have no control over that. Again, this is a tough vote. This is a very difficult vote for all of us. But we're looking at Wisconsin in 2 and 3 and 4 years and 5 and 10 down the road, and so a tough decision has to be made today. It would have been a lot easier to, as I mentioned earlier, kick that can down the road and let the next administration or the next session of this legislature handle and deal with the shortfall that we face. We could borrow again and bond again and maybe take money out of the transportation fund again and all of these things that we've done in the past. And again, both parties have been guilty of this. But this administration and this legislature has said, we will not do that anymore. The cookie jars are empty in Madison. We're not going to borrow our future. We're going to address the situation at hand. And we do that in our households, our individual household budgets. If we've maxed out our credit card, we stop spending and we draw back and pay that down. And that's exactly what we're doing here. So, yes, a tough decision. I'm not doing it with my career in mind. I'm doing it with the future of this great state of Wisconsin in mind. That's why I'm taking this tough vote. As far as the loggers are concerned, we've worked very hard for 8 years. We've got a great fan base, and we've got a great relationship with the city of La Crosse and the surrounding communities. We offer entertainment, baseball, sports, entertainment at a dollar cost that people can generally afford, and that's the theme of this league, and it's been very popular throughout the Midwest. So we're going to continue to offer the best product on the field, the best experience for fans as they come through the gates. And, politics is playing a role here in some respect, but we're going to just keep moving forward. It's unfortunate, but, again, that's the world I live in, and I accept that as part of that. And we're just going to do the best we can on the field and for the fans, and I'll do the best I can here in Madison for the future of Wisconsin.
Republican State Senator Dan Kopanky of La Crosse sharing his views on Wisconsin's budget situation in an interview from Madison yesterday. Coming up in the next half hour, local governments are facing an almost $100 million cut in aid from the state. We'll talk with La Crosse Mayor Matt Harder and Onalaska Mayor Mike Giese about what those cuts could mean for their communities. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum.